Time now to catch up with Jeff from Isle of Wight. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all your listeners.
Mate, what's happening on the on? I was about to say, what's happening on the farm?
The farm's fine. It's as we were talking off air, Peter. What do they call fall is in the air in North America, but autumn is in the air in Australia. So. Yeah. Definitely the weather pattern in this area has changed considerably.
Right.
I checked the stats because I was dealing with a customer overseas, and it actually we recorded rain on 7 of the last 14 days here, Peter.
Oh, well, that's at least some for you. And I believe that Americans and Canadians call autumn fall.
They do, because that's when the leaves fall off the trees, Peter.
Ah, so that's where they got it from. Yeah, I was wondering.
Yeah, so it's an easy habit to get into. So, the nights are cooler. And although there's been a couple of hot days up in the, higher than the mid-30s, between 35 and 40, the evenings have generally been cooler. But the pattern of the weather has changed, Peter. Those constant thunderstorms are coming through. And we haven't had those for, so far back we can hardly even remember.
That's a bit of a worry.
Yeah, it's Australia... and the world has been consumed with the bushfire dangers because there is a lot of danger and there's been, a lot of heartache. But, the economic problems and the drought, it's still with us, Peter. This is not enough rain to solve it. And it's been with us for the last few years. And unless something happens drastically, it's going to be with us for the next period of time, because it just all these extreme weather events are indicative of climate change, Peter.
Right.
And,
one
of the primary problems with climate change and with the increasing global temperature is severe weather. And I think we talked about this once before, Peter, about the fact that, countries like Russia and Canada, of course, the Canadian grain belt, and it is one of the largest producers in the world, is mostly in a band of 500 kilometers along the border with the United States, is because that's where the climate and everything is good for growing crops and grains. That growing area, you think, well, it'll move north as the world's getting warmer. And it's right to an extent, Peter, but you're not going to get more crop, because when you move further north, like into northerly latitudes, the likelihood of extreme conditions, you might have a beautiful crop and then you get this massive Arctic front comes down, kills everything.
Yeah.
Because it's just not... It's not beneficial to anybody to have what we're having now, and Australia is going to be one of the largest sufferers for sure.
Yeah, well, I've never known it to be, say, raining in Melbourne and hot in Sydney on the same day. I've never known that.
Mm. Well, because of that pattern that came through, and the first one that came, which was about... let's see, it was the 7th of January, I think. We had a massive storm here. And then we had a few days off. And then about the 10th or the 11th, we got this broad front came through, Peter. I took a snapshot on the computer of the radar of New South Wales.
Right.
And it was raining solid from the Victorian border right up past Brisbane.
I think we got what I've termed, in fact, yesterday, I said to one of the neighbours, I said, well, it's nice to see that we had a rainette. And she said, what do you mean a rainette? I said, a drip here and a drip there, and it was gone.
But we initially got some nice falls, Peter. We got a really nice fall here on the 7th. That's what broke it here for us.
Right.
As I said, this customer I've been talking to overseas have been worried about the bushfires and the drought. I sent him... a picture that we took on the 7th of January, looking down the valley towards Brook, and everywhere you can see, except around our place, of course, is as dry as anything. And of course, our grapes are beautiful and green, and of course, we water our gardens here.
Of course.
But it was really, really dry. And then again, I sent him on the 21st of January another exactly the same picture. I sent him both of them again, but exactly the same picture looking down the valley. And it looks like an English countryside, Peter. It's so nice and green.
That's fantastic. In fact, I've been watching several TV shows that, of course, are based in the United Kingdom. And I'm very jealous. They have some beautiful country.
They do. They can't grow grapes, but, Peter, because it's too wet.
Oh, okay. Well, that stuffed that lot, didn't it? We'll
yes,
all go hungry. We'll all go thirsty.
Yes. Well, that's, you know, they've, and because the English were a large part of the development of wine and fine wine tastes. You know, they didn't produce it, but they certainly appreciated it. So.
Well, that's nice to know. All the more the merrier. Mate, what's been happening in the world of news? You've been looking at it.
Well, it was a rather interesting one the other day. It doesn't affect me too much anymore, but I was a prolific milk drinker until I was probably 40. And this one was quite interesting. Came out of Brigham Young University, Peter. And as we know, your body has two ages, right? One is your chronological age, and the other is your, I forget what they call it, but it's actually, they can determine what your physical age is. You know, you might be a strapping, 50-year-old person, and when the time the doctors are finished with you, they tell you your body's 55.
Oh, wonderful. Or it could go the other way, you know, where you're 55 and you've got the brain of a 10-year-old.
Yeah. No question. And this article, actually, that I'm going to talk about may tell us, what the other age is, but I didn't read it totally. But the interesting part is that they've discovered that if you drink even 2% milk compared to 1% or skimmed milk during your life, you take 4.5 years off your lifetime.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. It's biological aging, and they call it, Peter, which makes sense. So your biologic, if you drink 2% milk instead of 1% milk, you are biologically 4.5 years older.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we're going to have to, we use 2% always. We always were of the opinion that it was better. But apparently, and it's harder to get 1%. It's not as common here, the 1% as, say, skim milk is, but I don't drink milk anymore the way that we used to when we were younger, but I do have a prolific cups of coffee, Peter, and I've a cappuccino,
yes.
And I've got my milk in there.
Yeah, I've got milk in my coffee as well. In fact, during a commercial break, I'll tuck out and get another one, I think.
Yeah, well, I think you're going to have to switch to 1%, Peter, or skim milk in your coffee now.
Oh, skim milk is terrible. It's like drinking the dishcloth.
Yeah, it is. It's like drinking, water with a bit of flour in it. It's just colored water, basically. You're right about that. But that's what they call when you go in and order your coffee, a skinny coffee.
Yeah, that's true. I must admit, I do break away at night now. After I noticed it's better to have tea at nighttime. And I really love my organic tea. It's beautiful.
Yeah, well, Peter, you're doing amazing things for your health by doing that. We've talked about that before, four cups of coffee in the morning actually has your mitochondria in the vessels feeding your heart regenerating, according to that discussion we had here about maybe a year ago now.
Yeah.
But green tea in particular, but tea in general, is very good for your brain tea drinkers, Peter, test smarter than the rest of us.
You know, I need all the help I can get.
Yeah, I drank a lot of tea too, but so in the evening, a very good idea, because green tea in particular has the same high levels of antioxidants and other things that help your heart, just like red wine does. It's got certain types of antioxidants and things in it that actually are very beneficial for you. So they've found green tea generally is very, very good for your health. So
that's probably why they've got all the
110-year-old people in Japan.
Yeah.
Drinking all that tea, Peter.
Yeah, well, it does something, obviously.
Anyway, that was interesting. There was another article, because this is something that a lot of people suffer from, and they do take this drug, that they have acid reflux. They take a drug in Australia here, I know, because I've been taking it myself, because and it's something that people that have had cancer, particularly breast cancer, take a lot, because after they've had treatment and radiation, they have a lot of acid reflux. And they are prescribed this drug in Australia. It's called Nexium.
Ah, yes.
Yes, and it's to, because if you do have acid reflux, your chances of having trouble with your esophagus, cancer of the esophagus, and various other problems is increased, fairly highly, because the acid from your stomach doesn't treat your esophagus very well, Peter. But what they found is, in this research came out of Ohio State University, this one, and they were looking at something else at the time, but a byproduct of this research showed that on average, cognitive problems were reported between 20 and 29% more severe than people that didn't take Nexium.
Mm.
Okay, so you're losing your memory and your effort of concentration, and the other part of it was fatigue. And I'm not sure that the little bottle of Nexium, and they're very small pills, the little bottle of Nexium shows on it that this may cause you to lose your memory. We stopped taking it yesterday, but I strongly recommend anybody that's on Nexium go and speak to their doctor about it and come up with a solution between them, because that's significant, Peter. You know,